Aaron, drop the intro.
Oh, here it is.
Sorry. No, you drop it.
No, you drop it.
No, you.
You got to bring the heat today.
You.
Come on, striped pajama girl.
They're not pajamas.
They look comfortable, though.
They are feel them.
Damn,
are they
bro.
Flannel? They're like, this is like blanket material.
Yeah, that's
really crazy.
Did you go to Joanne's and just whip this together?
She created it. It's actually creepy Halloween now.
Does it make you hot, though?
Wait,
right now I'm a little warm. But yeah. I think just because it's warm in here, but I'm really comfortable. It's like a perfect 65-degree day.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, of course. But I'll be inside after this, probably for a majority of the day. But yeah, I'm feeling good. And I'm really tired, so I was like, I need to prioritize comfort today.
I think we're all... Well, Carly's in jeans.
I know.
That's a big...
Crazy. It's just because all my other pants are dirty.
Yeah.
I haven't worn jeans in... Well... I feel like I haven't worn jeans in like months, for real.
I think so. I don't think you have.
Yeah.
Speaking of your jeans, these pockets are crazy. What's the... Okay, what's
Nolan
the
has a... Nolan has a vendetta against these jeans.
What's the ankle pocket for?
Oh, it's not.
No,
on the other one.
On that leg.
Your other leg has a pocket ankle.
Oh,
a
hold knife? On, my water.
On your shins.
A knife!
I mean, I don't know. They're just like carpenter pants.
You put like a sandwich in there or like just lunch.
Yeah, I do.
Yum.
Weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. I remember when I was little, I had... my basement was unfinished and they were full of pinball machines and video games and stuff. And did you know that?
Yeah, okay, it's just funny every time you say it. Just picturing like a scary basement with a bunch
of
pinball
machines.
Friends
and I would like roller skate down there because like you could because it was just like unfinished and stuff. And for some reason, I remember this. My dad does not remember this. And I swear to God that this happened and I remember it. But I don't know what the fuck I was doing, but there was a little zipper on the side of the roller skate and I kept putting bread in it. Like little pieces of bread, no idea why. And my dad got so mad at me.
You're
but
like a squirrel.
Yeah,
no, what are you talking? Girl,
bread.
I don't know. I was just putting bread in my
How
skate.
How old were you?
Like 22. Not kidding. I was definitely in like elementary school. I don't know.
Where were you getting the bread from?
I was probably just like from a sandwich I was eating or something. And I was like, I don't know what I was thinking.
They were like old skates too.
Yeah, they were. They
and
were
then
like
did
the,
they get moldy in there?
No, well, it wasn't like they're there for
mad.
It was there just like I just did it that day. And like I think my mom was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just putting bread in here." And she was like, "Okay." She asked my dad, and my dad was like, "I remember him just being so upset, but I can't remember why he was upset. I don't know if it was because
it's weird and you're ruining the skates."
Well, I don't know.
Were they roller blades or roller skates?
Skates.
Like the four.
Yeah.
Like an ATV.
So yes.
Probably like a collector's item.
I don't know. Yeah, they were like memorabilia from like the 40s.
Or like his when he was
a
kid.
Yeah, I have no idea. But
I love a roller rink.
Yeah,
but
they're
never
like
been...
pretty intense sometimes.
But I'm not good at like roller skates. I'm good at roller blades.
Me
roller
too.
Skates take a certain type of like skill.
You can't get them going too. You always feel like you're just like walking awkwardly.
So it's like you're learning to walk.
Yes,
for the
you're
first
like a baby,
time.
Yeah, baby giraffe.
Yeah, and then stopping, you have to like go forward.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah.
How
same.
Awkward.
Oh, but it's so cool when you see like those old boomers getting together and they're doing that stride with like a whole bunch of their friends at a roller rink and they just like are grooving.
Were you with our group when we went to a roller rink and it was like you? And we didn't realize it was like professional night or something. And like, it was fucking insane. People had their custom skates. People would get like Fat Farms and make them like roller skates and stuff.
Whoa.
It was like pretty cool, but they were all so good. So like all of us were like, I don't think we can even skate here. So it was like professional night, but.
Are you good at ice skating?
Yeah.
I love ice skating.
Yeah. But I can't like stop really like cool.
No,
I'll you
got to
use the wall. Just crash into the wall to stop.
I just kind of like do like a T almost the same way you would with like rollerblades kind of where you just like you use the back
skater.
One as a way as like as a break.
And you
to
create the dust
down.
Like the ice dust behind you?
A little bit.
I do the double.
Oh, you can do a double stop.
Yeah. I started my dad played hockey, so he had me in skates at like 3.
Damn.
Oh.
She could have been in Beartown.
I think I went ice skating once in my life and I just remember my ass was so sore the next day because I kept falling and the ice is just such a hard surface to land on.
Like falling right on your tailbone.
Have you ever ice skated on a frozen body of water?
That's like what we did.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we would.
Wow.
My guy friends would like play hockey. We'd have our skates or whatever. Honestly, like I would probably normally only be the girl there and like we'd bring a 30 rack of beer. And they'd be playing hockey, just
Bush Light.
Sit on the ice.
A vibe.
Yeah.
How do you know if a frozen body of water is truly good to go? Is this like a pond?
I grew up in a town where in New Jersey it doesn't really get cold enough for the lakes to freeze over. And there was one time like a couple of kids went out on the ice thinking it was safe and then fell through and died. And so like growing up, it was like the town story was like, never go on the ice.
That's how I felt.
Like the what they would tell us is like, it has to be, I think, below freezing temperature for a full 2 weeks for like every foot of lake or something. It's like some crazy formula. And they were like, basically never happens. Never step on. Like, I'm still to this day, like, I don't know if I would trust going on a lake. But I guess in Boston, it's a little colder. And
I'd go ice fishing with someone who had been ice fishing.
You can go with my dad.
Okay.
He goes every year for like a week in Maine.
Okay. See, I'd like to do that.
Is that where you drill a little hole
and
you
just kind of sit?
And you can like camp out almost like you're fucking tailgating under a little tent.
Oh, I don't think I could do it.
On the ice?
Yeah.
On the ice.
Can we go back to bread for a second?
Okay.
Have you guys ever lied in like for a science fair project growing up?
No,
I never did that.
I remember my first big lie. Which, like, I was shocked my parents...
Before the Lady Gaga lie. That's the second big lie.
We had to do, like, a science experiment, and I was, like, maybe in second or third grade, and the experiment I was given is, like, to show how bread gets moldy over time. And so it was, like, putting a bread outside, putting bread, like, on the counter in a, like, closed environment in a container. And it was supposed to be, like, after a week, some of the bread's going to go moldy, but none of the bread got moldy because it was just, like, nice, good bread with, like, preservatives and stuff in it. And so I made this whole report and I just completely lied about like, well, the one in here went moldy after this amount of time, the one on this.
You didn't have to have like images of it?
Well, how are we going to get away with
ChatGPT?
This? Like, and my mom was just like, just tell them I threw the bread away because it was moldy. And I was like, okay. And then I went and I got an A on this fucking paper and I was like.
Yeah, any teacher would be like, oh, okay.
But I was just like, oh, you could just get away with lying. It was an unbelievable like life-forming event. And I always think about bread going moldy. And I've seen moldy pieces of bread since then, but every time I do, I'm always like, I got away with it in second
grade.
Okay,
so this was a science paper. It wasn't like a science project where you had to have like the trifold.
No,
like,
we did. That's what it was. Like the.
Oh, okay.
And I just made like, I just lied about everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen the TikToks of people like putting their bread underwater and squeezing it and then taking it out and it goes back to its original form?
Yes.
Ew, that makes me want to gag. Thinking of wet bread.
It's like, just like what our bread's made of.
Ooh.
Well, then Hank Green did like a response to that where this guy was like, yeah, it's like a viral video of like this guy squeezing the bread and he's like, this is not what bread should do. They're feeding you poison. Like, this is awful. And Hank Green was like, nah, the ingredients are right here. Here's what it is. Like, we're putting in like a special gluten so that way like the bread lasts longer. We have preservatives so that doesn't go moldy as quickly. Like, this is all FDA tested. Like, it's all fine. And it just makes food and bread more accessible to like more people because you don't have to buy it as frequently and it lasts longer. And it's like actually a good thing that bread doesn't go moldy in like 2 days, and kind of like debunking the whole. It's like that alt, like, you know, almond girl sort of like anti-vax adjacent almond pipeline.
Yes.
Have you seen those things like Almond Girlfriend where it's just like.
I've seen like Almond Mom.
Yeah, it's like that genre of people.
Or granola
Wait,
mom.
Carly, tell them what you did.
What?
Mold.
Oh, the garlic sauce?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm like obsessed with this like garlic sauce. I make this like Mediterranean, I don't know what is like my thing right now. It's like cucumbers, feta, falafel and garlic sauce and hummus, and I put on a pita.
Okay,
so
Mediterranean
good.
Queen.
No, literally. I'm like making the thing, and like what makes it is the garlic sauce. The garlic sauce is completely necessary for this meal to taste good at all. So I'm like, I'm cooking, like microwaving with falafels. I open the garlic sauce, and there's just like white, you know, like the white hairy mold.
Yeah.
Like fuzzy mold.
Yeah,
like
and
it's
I,
gone.
I threw it away, and I didn't use it.
Good.
No, I actually spooned it off, and I was like, I think I'll be fine, and I was.
You scooped the layer of mold and then got the fresh underneath it?
Yeah.
Okay, there's been time with like Parmesan cheese where I've noticed like maybe a bit is moldy.
I think I just that. Like even if there's bread, if there's like mold on it, I'll just take the mold part off.
Yeah, you can't. No, if you see mold, that means that there's other mold growing inside that you can't see
yet. Yeah, I'm aware. I've always been fine.
Wait, you do this more than once?
Well, no, I'm just saying like in those situations.
Yeah, she does.
Everything in my fridge is moldy. Imagine.
No, you can't. Don't fuck with mold.
Don't fuck with mold.
It's going to get you one of these days, Carly. Yeah. That's not...
I don't eat mushrooms, so that's mine. I don't eat fungus.
But, oh, God.
Some people eat fungus.
Well, technically you did.
Yeah, I did. I guess I did.
A little fungi.
I'm a fun guy.
Well, that's really interesting that Hank Green debunked it.
Yeah.
I wish those would then come on my TikTok. I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, ew.
And yeah, where the bread that like, yeah, because yeah, it's compelling. It's like, wait, what the fuck is this? It's not even food.
Yeah, it's so easy to be like, ew. Totally.
Or but
like,
then I'm also just like, oh, I don't eat white bread. It's fine. Next.
Or like the McDonald's burger that's been perfectly for like 30 years. This woman has like a Burger King burger.
That's what Morgan Spurlock did in Super Size Me, right? Like, remember the documentary Super Size Me?
Yeah. Where he ate it for a month?
He ate McDonald's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. Every day for an entire month to see the effects
it would have.
No, just a month. 30 days.
And it was also, if they asked, do you want to supersize it, he has to say yes. Yeah, like, you have to take the suggestion.
And that was the big change McDonald's made after the documentary, is that they...
No supersizing?
They would stop offering it to you.
Oh.
So they couldn't go, do you want to supersize that? They wouldn't do it.
He died, right?
Yes, yeah. He did.
He's dead now. Like,
recently. Not from eating the McDonald's stuff. I believe he had... cancer.
From the McDonald's.
But it also turned, you know, the real story about that documentary of why he gained all the weight. Because he was like still working out and exercising, but he just kept getting fat. And then it turned out that he was just a full blown like alcoholic and he was drinking all the time. And that's why he was like not losing weight and getting fat. And like,
that's like in the doc, or that's like when they were filming it too, right?
Yeah, when they were filming it. And it didn't come out till like decades later. I watched that in high school in science class. They were like, we're going to watch why.
But back to the molding thing, though, in towards the end of the documentary, he decides to do a test on McDonald's products molding and stuff over the course of like, you know, I think even a year. And what was crazy is that the French fries like didn't even mold at all. Now, I don't know if that's still true with McDonald's French fries. If you're a little sixth grader out there and you want to do a science project, get on it.
But what about regular French fries? Like if I just chopped potatoes, fried them, like maybe frying potatoes just makes them immune to being...
I feel like they'd get yucky.
Potatoes like moldy?
Yeah.
Fried though, if I like crisp them up?
Probably.
Yeah, because even if you like leave potatoes as is, like eventually they'll be bad.
Right, but once you fry them, then it's like a protective coating.
Should we try it?
I would try it. I would do that.
Well, I don't think I'll believe your results since you just told us you threw away bread and made up results.
My scientific career is
true. Everything's a lie.
Untrustable now. The other thing also is scary is like the pasta thing where if you leave pasta out, you can like die.
Botulism or whatever.
Yeah.
And rice.
Uncooked pasta?
No, cooked pasta.
Okay.
Like if you bring pasta home from like a restaurant, there's like, I think within 2 hours it has to go in the fridge. And there was like a thing that happened where people in like college kids were dying because they would like buy pasta, leave it out on their dorm and like eat it like 6 hours later and not refrigerate it. And like cooked pasta will have this some bacteria that can
and
kill
rice
you.
Rice too.
Rice too. Yeah.
Cooked rice.
Yeah.
I think it's like you're not supposed to, technically like leftover rice is not supposed to be like heated up. Or if you leave it out too for so long, it becomes like
I like room temp after it's been cooked.
Oh, got it. When I reheat cooked rice that's been in my refrigerator, I used to put a little ice cube in it,
like
too.
Emily Mariko.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. So it's not as like dry.
Yeah, it just gets some like moisture going on in it and kind of revives a little bit better. Or I'll put it just straight back onto the stove top and like heat it up and add a little butter and get it going.
Yeah. I know. I wonder. TJ's mom like will not save rice because of all of that.
Okay.
Damn, I've reheated rice millions of times, I feel like.
But it has to come from the fridge. You got to put it in the fridge.
Oh, yeah. It's always been
in. You can't be leaving it out like, I'll put this in later.
How long does pizza last outside of the refrigerator?
I don't think anyone knows. Nobody knows.
I feel like pizza is way different.
I ate a lot of...
Yeah, because I guess that's true. Like, if you get a pepperoni pizza from Domino's and it's out and it's the next day, like, I feel like I've still eaten pizza like that
totally
before.
Domino's, though.
Probably shouldn't, though.
Domino's, like, I feel like has all the preservatives because they're shipping that. Like,
I know,
sorry. Yeah, it's like pasta and everything else that's cooked.
Yeah. No, but pasta's got there. Maybe they're. Yeah.
Should you leave pizza out of
and then eat it
fridge and eat?
Are you guys fans of cold pizza? Like the next morning after a party, will you eat it cold?
No.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that until I was in college. Like it freaked me out when I was younger. Like I remember people would eat it. I'm like, you're gross. But I like a cold piece.
My dad would eat cold pizza all the time as a kid and I would eat it just like that too. So sometimes I'll do it, sometimes I won't. It depends on like if I'm feeling something hot, if I'm feeling something cold.
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. It says it shouldn't be left out for more than two hours.
2 hours? Huh? Yeah. Oh my God.
Little.
So like when we went to the Cheesecake Factory and I brought back some pasta, but then we ended up like doing something else after the cheesecake, I was just like,
toss it.
Yeah, it's not even worth risking it. I don't want to die over some.
That's crazy. I feel like a pizza being out at like a party is definitely way longer than 2 hours too.
I think it's 2 hours at like room temperature.
Yeah. So it's between a different. The temperature range between 40 degrees and 140 is known as the danger zone.
140?
For danger zone for bacterial growth. Yeah, like if you're in Arizona or something and it's outside.
Yeah, what if you're outside, like at a pool party? Yeah.
It's not 140 degrees.
I know. They're just saying that's like when they test an experiment, they can change the temperature. So they're like, okay, here's the prime number for bacteria.
I'm saying
growth.
So like you can't, it's like no one's keeping safe food at 150 degrees after it's cooked. Right?
No one's keeping
the danger food. Zone is between 40 degrees and 140.
Yes.
Meaning that if the food is in between those temperatures, it's not good.
Danger.
Correct.
Danger.
So that means that basically
left out in those temperatures.
Yeah.
So unless it's in the fridge.
Yeah. Either in the fridge or freshly cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're fucked.
Or a kiln. Yeah. Kiln.
A kiln?
It's the bacteria zone.
So speaking of refrigerators, you know, like, it's either the vegetable or the cheese drawer. Oh. I don't know which drawer it is, but some refrigerators, there's like a little slider or a knob.
Oh, yeah.
What? I have never touched that slider,
yeah, I don't
nor
know.
Do I know what is with it. Are we counting something, or is there some type of thermoregulation or crispiness thing?
I think it's the coldness
humidity
of that drawer.
Like the humidity of
I think
it?
That's what it is.
But what's going on? Is there like a tightening within the ceiling of that opening of the drawer that's maintaining it? I even remember, in the 90s we had that on our refrigerator. Never would fucking touch
it. I can't imagine it's making that much of a difference, too, because that drawer is completely unsealed.
It's just like, plastic, too.
Open that shit every day.
So
yeah.
You can just take it
I'm
out.
I'm also, like, not putting the vegetables in that drawer. I'm like, oh, how do I shove a broccoli head in this drawer?
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. Now, y'all have heard us talk about Rocket Money before. I have been a user for probably 3 years now. I got the premium. I got all the bells and whistles. I love Rocket Money. I check it every single day. Matt also, Carly and Aaron, we're all big Rocket Money fans. Matt, tell the people what Rocket Money is.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place and know exactly where your money is going. For ones you don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help cancel them for you.
Rocket Money's dashboard gives you a clear view of your expenses across all of your accounts. You can get alerts if your bills increase in price, if there's any unusual spending activity, or if you're close to going over your budget. And Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you. They automatically scan your bills to find opportunities to save. Then you can ask them to negotiate for you. They'll deal with the customer service so you don't have to.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/good today. That's rocketmoney.com/good. rocketmoney.com/good.
And now back to the episode.
Okay, how are y'all doing in the fridge? Okay, so that first drawer underneath like your main platform.
Yes.
Are you putting cheese in there or vegetables?
Long one?
In the refrigerator, we open it up. Let's talk about the main platform where you definitely have like a jug of milk on there. Okay.
The top drawer.
Just no, the main platform.
Main platform of the
You may
fridge.
Have another shelf
oh,
up
oh,
here.
Oh, like so the bottom.
Okay. I'm just not the bottom. I'm talking about just
bottom
the mid tier main platform in the refrigerator. You following me?
Yeah, but I have a different kind of fridge.
Yeah. My fridge, the bottom layer, like where the drawers are connected to, that's the biggest.
Okay.
It's
the first layer that has a drawer underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We following this?
Yeah. Mine is just a little square because then there's a drawer right next
well,
to
you
it.
Well, you know what he's saying, right?
I think you
totally.
Know what I'm saying. Okay, that drawer, what do you put in that first drawer right there? Underneath that main platform I'm talking about.
Oh, what do I put in the drawer?
Are we putting cheese?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I do. I do cheese straight up.
Which layer?
Okay, the layer before the drawer, the layer above the drawer.
Yeah, the bottom shelf.
Yeah, mine is like a...
They're all shelves, buddy.
But it's the bottom of the shelves.
Okay.
Mine is like a long one on the bottom, then two drawer, like one long drawer, then two drawers.
What do we just put in the first top drawer?
Cheese.
Like cheese, yeah, and then vegetables.
Oh, I keep my vitamins in there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I keep my jeans in there.
Okay. No, cheese is supposed to go in the... I feel like cheese is supposed to go in the little flap where the butter is kept too, right? On the door?
No, I've never put cheese on the side of my fridge.
I never put cheese with my butter, man.
Maybe I saw a TikTok about that. That like when you get cheese, you actually want to unwrap it from the plastic and keep it loosely kept in like parchment paper, because if you keep the cheese like in plastic, it's suffocating it and that creates more mold faster.
Are we talking about a block of cheese or like American sliced cheese?
I just want some processed in a bag cheese. Yeah.
What?
Probably, cheesy
yeah,
does
you're
it.
Like a big block.
Or a plastic tub of just Parmesan.
Yeah. Parmesan.
I never buy the powdered Parmesan.
But like if you're putting on a sandwich, you're slicing.
Yeah.
You grade your own Parmesan?
Yeah. Sure. Otherwise, you're buying all these.
I do both.
Sure.
I put the Parmesan on the side of the fridge.
Okay, like a block of Parmesan?
No, the block will go in the drawer.
The tub?
Yeah, the green.
Okay.
The green tub's going on the side.
Are you also like...
Because it's like a condiment.
Okay, yeah. I agree. What about... some people think like butter shouldn't even like be in the fridge. Butter should be like out.
With a butter bell?
I keep it out with a little thing.
You have a little butter bell with the water?
No water.
Those are so cute.
Yeah, bells. Do you know what that is?
I feel like I've seen it.
It keeps the butter at room temp also, so when you try to go and use it, it's not like breaking apart and...
I just hate a hard butter.
Like, truly. It's not hard if it's out of
the fridge. That's what
I'm
saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't like it in
thing.
The fridge.
No,
because
I like
it's
how it's soft.
Like, why do people keep it in the fridge? I mean, I keep it in the fridge sometimes, but it's like fucking annoying when I'm making toast or something and it's like...
Yeah. What?
Also, keeping eggs in the fridge, I think that's a weird American thing that we don't need to be... I think in Europe, they don't keep their eggs in the fridge.
I think their eggs are different than ours.
They get different eggs in Europe?
Yeah, like think of how what we're like injecting chickens with here.
Oh, I guess.
I don't think I would leave an egg out in America.
Did you keep batteries in the freezer?
Fridge.
No.
We did fridge.
What?
Yeah, we did it in the freezer.
It's a way... Wait, I think I've heard of this. Is this a way to like get a little bit more juice in the battery? Or
I think it's just...
Last
the
longer?
Thought was like it'll...
Placebo.
It would just preserve
made
the
us
batteries.
Feel better.
Yeah. But
I
so like it would always be like, oh, the Game Boy controller's out of juice. You go and open the freezer, take out freezing cold batteries and like put them in.
I wonder if it does do anything, actually.
We talked
about this before.
It sounds like a very...
Freezer seems a little crazy.
I don't know.
Too cold.
It'll freeze the juice in the battery. That's what I'd be afraid of.
I also had like a great aunt who like would, for any outlet that didn't have plugs in it, she would like shove paper in it because she thought that it would be like leaking electricity. There's a lot of dumb things we just didn't know.
She's schizophrenic.
It was once a common practice, storing batteries in the refrigerator is generally not recommended for modern batteries. While lower temperatures might slightly slow down self-discharge, the potential for condensation and damage from moisture inside the fridge outweighs any benefits, according to battery manufacturers. And then there's like a whole video on why you shouldn't do it.
Do you guys
now.
Keep baking powder boxes in your fridge and freezer?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things.
We have like an arm and hammer.
That's what
like
I'm talking about.
Soda, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a suction cup thing that's on the side that is made to keep your refrigerator fresh, not like the box of the baking powder. So
yeah,
they figured out a way just to like, it's not just this box in the corner. It's just a little suction cup disc that's like a car air freshener.
Okay,
you
love
that.
I didn't know they did that. Yeah, we have like one of the little boxes just right on the very, very top side shelf.
And then you're supposed to write the date on it and change it every 30 days. Definitely.
30?
30 days?
Yeah, that's what it says.
A whole box of
way.
Baking?
Mm-hmm. So I never do it. So I just
Mine's
take
been
the...
in there for like 3 years.
No, then it's useless. But I'll shake it up sometimes because I'm like, ooh, I'll give it a little more life and get some of the new particles exposed every 30 days. They're cheap as fuck, too. Like you can buy on Amazon like a thing of 12...
What does it do? Like moisture?
I think it's supposed to suck in moisture, and then moisture is what
odors.
Makes things.
Yes.
30 days is crazy.
Yeah. Should I get you something for your birthday?
A toothbrush head? Like how often? You're supposed to change it what?
Every 6 months, your toothbrush head.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like more than that.
Because I probably change
six
it.
6 months? I would do it every
couple.
Month and a half, 2 months.
You're changing toothbrushes every month and a half?
The toothbrush head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because once if I can see that the bristles are starting to like go off in different places, let's get that
like
more.
Like, wow, you're really brushing hard.
Yeah, that's you have one of those crazy toothbrushes that looks like it came out of Vietnam or something.
Well, I don't because that's months. When I replace it. The head. That's my first sign is once bristles start like going outwards.
Yeah, it says every 3 to 4 months or sooner if the bristles become frayed or worn.
3 months.
Yeah. I feel like I normally do like 2 to 3.
I've been in the market though for a new toothbrush though, like a good electric
one. I've got a great one.
Because
you wouldn't like it because it tells you when to change.
Oh, you're right.
Wait, I wouldn't like it?
Yeah, because you have that whole, I don't need a toothbrush to tell me when to change the side of my mouth.
Oh, yeah. That's a little silly.
It's not like, okay, move it now. Yeah. It's just like, and then it's like, that's your signal. But I never pay attention to it. I'm just brushing willy-nilly.
Okay.
Oh, I do. I got it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, mine's great. I love it. Actually, Nolan's mom got it for him for Christmas because it's like a really good one. And
Sonicare.
He hated
that's
it.
What I have.
Oh, is it like it? Maybe it's a different one though.
Yeah.
But it's I had a Oral B one. It's so much better than that one. The Oral B one feels like a toy compared.
Okay.
But he hated it because he didn't like the sound in his head.
I feel like I have a popular Sonicare one from like 3 years ago.
And it's not vibrating in your mouth?
No, it is vibrating in
my
mouth.
But like to tell you when to change?
No. Well, wow. It's always vibrating, just going, going, course, going. Yeah. So, yeah. But I just didn't know if there's some new toothbrush out there that's like, this is the game
Justin
changer.
Bieber one.
The Justin Bieber toothbrush?
No, I'm kidding. You know how they used to have like...
I had that
ones
one.
That had baby and
or
stuff.
That you could like listen to music like in your skull. Like,
I cannot hear when I use my toothbrush.
Yeah, no, it's so loud.
It's so fucking loud.
Or have you ever worn headphones when you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a crazy experience.
It has to be so loud.
Because you feel all the bones vibrating because you can't hear the outside, so you just hear the inside, and it's like...
When you guys brush your teeth, though, do you ever walk around the house?
All the time.
Yeah.
I don't get how people do
so
that.
It's so boring.
I can't. I'm so ADD. I can't just sit there and just keep brushing my teeth. I got to go do something else while I'm brushing my teeth. Hopefully nothing comes out of my mouth and goes anywhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we're pacers in our house.
Should we get into the topic for today's episode? Sorry,
sure.
I feel like we've been kind of going all across talking about different stuff. Carly and I, we were just talking the other day. We came across a TikTok that was like...
It was almost offensive, to be honest.
It was like a very older millennial girl talking to kind of Gen Z and was like, you guys don't understand that back in the day before smartphones and stuff, when we had to drive somewhere, we had to get on MapQuest... print directions out and have to navigate town like a fucking pirate. And I was thinking about my experience as a millennial. I do remember the MapQuest era, my parents having to do that when we went on trips. But I was trying to think about when I was 16. I don't remember having to use MapQuest and print something out.
He texted me this TikTok.
Okay, you rich.
Well, I don't know how I... Then I'm trying to think about how I got around. Well, I think when I was 16, I'm just driving around my hometown.
Of course.
I think I generally had the directions kind of already in my head.
Yeah.
Well, they used to make a standalone GPS product.
TomTom.
Yeah, which was like a Garmin. That was like
I didn't have that.
And
it looked like an old like game on a computer.
Yes.
It's like moves
slow. Oh, yes. Just like a little arrow and very thin lines.
And so I guess we kind of wanted to lean into the theme of, one, how did boomers do
it? How the fuck did they do anything?
How did they do anything?
I want to say you texted me that and you're like, I'm so glad I didn't grow up. I was an adult in this era of time. And I go, I was. Because I was over here printing off my fucking
thing. Yeah.
And it's just crazy because, but then we got on the topic of like other things. We're like, oh, funny episode maybe. But
But think about like pre-MapQuest. Like, how are you using a map?
So
we talked about this too, actually.
I was trying. You always see in movies, like they'd go into a gas station, and I guess you would buy a map specific to the area that you're about to go venture into. I also had a memory of my dad. My dad worked in kind of retail geography stuff. He had a big atlas as well in the car.
The atlas is what people
that
had.
That covered like every big city. So once you had your route and you needed to get to the city and there was somewhere specific, you could kind of figure out how to go.
I would never. God forbid I get on the wrong freeway. I'd be like, well.
Yeah. And it must have been like an unspoken like rule, you as the passenger.
Probably less for you to have to navigate though.
What?
Less highways.
What do you mean?
Like, there's probably, like, only, way less highways that you have to remember.
Right. And it must have been, like, an unspoken, like, rule as a passenger in a car. You also have to be there to assist the driver. Because now it's, like, drivers can navigate and drive at the same time. That's a dual responsibility of the driver. But back then, they couldn't look at a piece of paper. So you had to tell them, take this. Yeah.
But think about all the people who would have to go to work.
Or driving alone somewhere.
Like his salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
Like they would have to be alone.
They got
to
get up early.
They have to be by themselves. Have a cup of
Joe. Navigate the route for the day. Get it in your head.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I guess you really had to read roadsides. Sometimes I'm like going down roads and I'm like, oh, yeah, San Bernardino. Even though I'm not going there, I guess that's the general direction of where I'm going. You had to really read the road signs.
Totally.
Yeah, MapQuest sucked because, like, literally if you missed a turn or, like, did something wrong, you're like, fucked. Well, now I have no idea where I am, especially, like, 16 and, like...
You have to get yourself back there.
If you're somewhere you're not, like, used to.
There's also a big thing, you would call someone and they would give you directions. Like, and, like, some people were really good at giving directions and others were really bad, so it's like, oh, she gives the worst directions. Like, we're so definitely going to get lost versus, like, my mom's friend, this girl is, like, really good at giving directions, so let's ask her.
It's like cell phone in the car and then another person on the line with the map.
No. Pre getting in the car, it's like, hey, we're going to come to your house for Thanksgiving.
Got it.
You live in Boston. How do I get to your house? She's going to say, okay, you get on the turnpike, then you get off exit 8, then you get off this. And then when you get to Boston, you're going to take the GW and you're like, you have to, my mom would like write down every step of the directions.
Oh. Can I tell you, my parents still do that. If I'm like driving somewhere,
yes,
they'll be like, oh, you're going to take this highway. And I'm like, I have a cell phone.
Yes.
You're like, I don't need to turn my brain on.
I think it's like, it's so ingrained. Like, TJ's parents will do it sometimes. They're like, oh, did you take I-95? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I just looked at what the fucking thing told me. I don't know what
my car
came.
Drove me.
But it's so, and they're like, you know how to get there. And then you'll take that left. And I'm like, probably.
Then there's a bump in the road.
Yeah. Look out for the red barn on your right. If you see the red barn, you went too far.
Yeah.
And that's, you always like, well, there's the red barn. I guess we're fucked.
What seems impossible to me is, like, before all this technology and everything, imagine you plan, like, you're living here and you plan a trip to, like, Boston or something to go home for Christmas. There's so many variables that, like, could go wrong without constant communication or, like, easy communication. Like, first of all, getting to the airport, a taxi or park there if you're by yourself.
People would usually park there. Parking was way cheaper back in the day.
Okay, so you'd park there.
Yep.
TJ's parents would literally, if like they had a friend coming, they would leave a truck unlocked at the airport with the keys in it.
Jesus.
Like it was so different then. Yeah. Like you don't have to worry about anything.
There were a lot more cabs though than normal.
Oh yeah.
They probably call a cab ahead of time.
Yeah. You call
them. I'm going to the airport.
Yes.
And then, but you'd have to print off your flight ticket.
Your tickets.
Right? Or would they get also mailed to you? Or
do you go to the counter?
Right. Will call.
Then they give you your boarding pass.
How are you
there?
Buying the plane
it's
ticket?
It's like when
though?
You check in.
You call.
How do you buy a plane ticket back then?
Yeah, you have to call. My mom had a travel agent. You would call.
I can't look at all the different deals.
That's what the travel agent is for. Like when we would go to Disneyland every year, my mom would call the travel agent and she's like, this is the hotel you're going to stay at.
So they had like.
Or like secretaries for, you know, businessmen who travel.
Okay, but are the travel agents back then getting a cut of getting you the best deal?
They're on Google Flights.
3%? And then do you give your credit card information over the phone? That's how it works?
Definitely. Or you mail a check?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you have your plane ticket.
Well, you don't. The plane ticket either comes in the mail or you have to go to the...
I
also thought you could go... I thought people went to the airport before they were in traveling to like look at like
well,
something.
Well, when I was
like,
a kid, I remember in like the 90s, late 90s, when we would go to the airport, we would have to tune into a radio station and my brother and I would have to get very quiet and my parents would sit there. We'd listen to a person going, next flight to Indianapolis. Gate C2. Like it would tell you your gate or your terminal on your way to the airport.
Yeah, it's like tuned to 5:50 a.m. for terminal information.
What a time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now do you think moment in time they were like, surely this is going to be like on our phone in the future, right?
No way.
No.
They thought this was how it's always going to be?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because like now we don't really, there's
probably
something.
Less flights. Like, less options.
Yeah, there's probably like one flight a day to Indianapolis. That's the flight.
Yeah. But I also grew up in, like, DFW, so
that's a big airport.
Yeah. Okay, so you get on the flight to visit your family in Boston. You land. How the fuck do they know where you are?
You call ahead of time and say, we're taking this flight. It should land at 4:30.
On a fucking payphone? And I got to have a right amount of change on the payphone to call them?
Yes, people had it with them. You have your black book of
I got to wait in line at the fuck. Oh, like, they had more payphones, I guess. I saw Home Alone. There's at least multiple booths.
Home Alone. Yeah, just think, what's that movie? Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Yeah. That's how they did it.
Yeah, that's literally, that's it.
That's literally how they did it.
I wish I could just experience that era, though, of seeing a whole bunch of people waiting to use a payphone.
There's a thing like you're watching Seinfeld. I would say 90% of the plot lines in Seinfeld would just not happen if they just had a cell phone. Like,
yeah,
it's all of it is just like, I was supposed to pick you up at this time. Or they George has the directions to like go to the Hamptons and then they fly out the window. So now he's just like on a highway and has no idea where to go. Or let's meet at the movies. Let's go to the other movie. Like, all these things, you couldn't be spontaneous as we are now.
Did men carry coins around in their pockets a lot more?
Sure, probably. Yeah.
Did men have their own shoes, coin bags?
The penny loafer.
Yeah, put a little penny there.
Is that why they're called penny loafers? Because you stick a penny in them?
Yeah.
Did you never know that, Mike?
That's the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah.
What are you doing with a penny? Making a call?
Back then, you could get your shoe shined with like a penny.
Probably. Collect calls. You guys know what that is?
Yeah.
Would you like to place a collect call?
Dial down the center with 1-800-ATT. I don't know. Like,
you say hi.
So a collect call is
collect money for you to call.
No, instead of you putting money into the thing, there was a service, and you would press 1-800-COLLECT, and if you dial that number, an agent would answer, and then they call the person that you're reaching. So, like, if I want to call you, but I have no money on me, I call collect. I say I'm calling Aaron Guilfoy, 732 whatever. It calls you. And then it says, would you like to accept a collect call from Mike Sheffer? And then you're like, you accept the charges. So you're paying for the call. Yes.
Also, wasn't there a trick to it, though? Like,
yes.
If I wanted to do it but, like, didn't want anyone to pay, I could call the number and be like, I'd give them, like, your phone number and be like, and the name is I Made It.
Yes, exactly.
And like, so you'd pick it up and be like, there's a call waiting or a collect call for I Made It, and you're like, okay, she made it. Like,
right.
It's like
so
you would like hack the system, because instead of saying your name, they give you like 2 seconds to be like, would you like to accept a collect call from Mike Sheffer? You're like, would you like to accept a collect call from She Had the Baby, It's a Boy? Like, and then
do you ever think someone was just like fed up?
No,
like, I'm not gonna relay your fucking message today.
I think that part was automated where it would like it would cut to like a voice recording, so people would spam collect calls.
Smart.
And they would do that in like the...
Is that in movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Collect calls was a big thing. I never made a collect call because I think we were... Like when I was in whatever, seventh grade is when we got a cell phone.
No, we're not around for that.
The collect calls like very...
That's what Carrot Top would do. Commercial where he was at the payphone.
1-800-COLLECT.
Go dial down the center. Go 1-800-ATT.
So this company would then take a cut, and like the person that you're calling gets the charges on their bill.
Okay.
Wow. I wonder how successful that was.
I think it was a huge business.
Yeah, like I would love to
because people would just not have their money on them. Also, the thing where, like, depending on how long the call was, you press the little slot and then change comes back out. Like, they were calculating how long you're on the phone for, and it's like, you have 5 minutes left. Please insert another quarter to continue the call. Or if you put in a dollar and you only speak for 2 minutes, you press the little thing and then you get money out.
It's like calling jail.
But a lot of people would forget, so we would run around like the pool, like pay phones, like during the summer, and you just press the button and like half the time change would come out and you'd get money, go to the ice cream and get free ice cream.
Would you guys ever use pay phones?
Would fuck around with them, but I never used it. Like, I loved picking up the phone book. Remember there was like
a phone book
underneath it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was cool because you could look up your parents and be like, we're in Brent, we're famous. It was just such a rush to like identify like your whole identity.
Yeah, you see your friends like, damn, that's where they live.
Yeah.
That's why people would say, look me up when you get there. Look me up in the phone book.
Wait, the phone book had your name, address,
and phone number?
Yes. I thought it was just name and number.
No. That it's like a meme now where it's like, if someone proposed to put a phone book out today, people would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
We're going to put everybody's name, phone number, and address in every corner of every street. Like, we're going to mail a fucking directory of where everybody lives. They used to mail them for free.
To your house.
You get it in your driveway.
Show up on the front door all the time. They would just get wet after you left them out for a while.
Yeah.
Do you know how pagers worked?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. So pagers.
Before we jump to pagers, can we talk about printing out directions one more time?
Sure.
Were you the person who was printing them out? Were your parents printing them out?
I printed them out.
My parents all day. My dad was obsessed with directions.
Oh, he was doing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Now I also feel like back like in not this smartphone era, but like phones could take pictures. I think I remember taking pictures of MapQuest of the computer screen.
Your fucking like little flip phone?
Yeah. I would do that sometimes, and I could like figure out how to get somewhere based on the pictures. It was like a pre-screenshot kind of a thing.
Yeah.
My parents were like, I know where I'm going. Don't worry about it. And I would paranoid. I'm printing out the directions. I don't want to hear it. And I would be the guy like shaking, like making sure that my dad doesn't go the wrong way.
Taking the right street.
I thought if you got lost.
Like you're fucked.
You're never getting home.
Same.
Like that's it.
I thought that when I was literally 16, I was like scared of my own city.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get lost.
If you, and I remember my dad, like we went to an NBA game one time and he took the wrong exit getting home and he was like, ah, damn it. And I was like, well,
that's it.
I guess we live in this car forever now. Like, that's it. We're never going to eat again. And just like, I would make two copies, one in color, one in black. I was a freak.
Oh my God.
Because the street signs would be in color on there. Also, like Yahoo Maps was way better than MapQuest.
But then Google Maps was better than all of them.
But. So your dad would be in charge of it. You weren't like paranoid, like please, dad.
I didn't
please.
Think my dad had access to like really good software for his job.
Oh, that they gave you
even more detailed directions, and he was just really into that stuff.
But think of like what a privilege it is to just like have a printer.
Yeah,
imagine, like,
true.
And they still haven't figured out the fucking printer at all.
The same printers.
It's a miracle when it works literally, every time. You're like, oh my gosh.
If TJ's not home and I run into an issue with the printer, like. I need to go get a new one.
Yeah. I don't even touch mine. I'm like, can you please print this off?
And I think the reason why printers still are not like where they should be technology wise is because of the patent on the printer.
So someone's holding them back.
There's so many different variations of patents on printers where even if you came up with like a new printer, it's very hard to even get it passed and allow it to happen. I think Apple just needs to make a fucking printer. It's just crazy. Everything's owned by HP. All respect to HP, but still, I'd be down to work with you. But just, I should be able to fucking AirPlay and just Bluetooth the fucking...
I do.
I can do that now.
I have Bluetooth on mine.
My HP printer is
not... Cool. Mine, it's pretty good, but it's...
But it still feels like a miracle. Every time it works,
I know.
Though.
I can see an Apple one, like how sleek.
Yes.
It is. If it just looks like you're.
And it doesn't even need ink. It's just like slightly just burned into the paper. You know what I mean?
Like uses laser like a typewriter?
Like a laser jet. Or, the printers that you'd have at school where it would just like.
Yeah, toner.
Oh, yeah, those big ones.
Not
like
one
an
where
office.
It's just like.
Yeah.
It just like. It just comes out. Can we do that?
Wait, speaking of typewriters, that's another thing. I was like, I guess like back in school. They would use typewriters, obviously, instead of computers or whatever. But if you, like, I've never used a typewriter, so I don't know.
Awesome.
But, like, if you'd be, like, in the middle of anything and you mess up, you have to start over.
Or I thought you could do the dot.
Or you do
That's
a little
what I thought,
white,
too. But
they do white out.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Do a little modification. And if you're, like, a trained secretary, they knew.
They know.
But that, a lot of times, though, like, you would use your typewriter for notes, and then you would, it was called retyped. So you would get it retyped, and that's when it, like... You do the editing. No one was handing in like first drafts. Like I'm listening to John Steinbeck talk about the letters that he was writing to his editor. And he like East of Eden and his books, he handwrites his books. There's like errors in them. And then you give it to the typist who works for the editor. The typist is like, they got to nail it.
Do you know what shorthand is?
No.
Insane.
So shorthand, you always see it like in movies, even like old ones, like, I mean, set like in the 1800s. So they go, write this letter to this person, and their assistant's like, yes, sir. And he goes, dear so-and-so. And the person just spouting out everything, and they're writing it. But they're not really writing it. They're doing a taught code of, like, a
it's
word.
It's, like, faster than script writing.
Yes. Is so it's, like, a bunch of, like, symbols and letters and stuff, and it's a way to do it. Even some people of our parents' generation know how to write shorthand.
I wonder if they do something like that in court.
That's stenography.
Yeah.
So
have you
stenography
seen how that works?
Is like chords for words.
Yes.
In a way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stenography is. I always love seeing a TikTok of it because it's only 10 buttons in total.
Okay.
And you basically like instead of typing each individual letter, you get 26 letters and spaces and commas and stuff just between. Yeah, it's like chords. That's a good way to
it's
put
like
it.
Learning a new language.
It
but
is.
But why are 100%. We doing that, though? I love that it exists still, but why can't we just have an audio recording thing transcribing everything that's being said and it's just good to go?
Wow, well, he's here for AI.
Yeah, so you're trying to take jobs away from hardworking Americans. Yeah.
Well, and I love that we're employing painters in courthouses to make
sketches.
Caricature.
Like, love that's existing. We can't have cameras, but bring the artist.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
Bring his acrylics and pastels.
Another thing I was thinking of is, like, if you want something that's not available in, like, stores, we have Amazon, we have all these places. But back then, you'd have to fucking order from a commercial. You have to call and speak to someone.
Operators are standing by.
Yes, and do, like, the payment or whatever, and then wait for it to get delivered. Or there were magazines, and you would literally
take, I loved doing that.
Yeah, take the there's, like, an order form in every magazine, and so you could write down, like, the whatever you wanted, and you'd have to mail it in. They'd have to get it, then send it to you.
You mail,
like,
it so with the check, too. Checks were a big thing. People
were
writing checks at the grocery store, writing checks for rent.
I loved those magazines. Like, you'd keep them all for, like, Christmas, too, and then you're just, like, in there circling all the things you want.
Yes.
And then your mom writes the check or whatever.
A sharper image. It's like you're on the flight, and you're like, I'm going to take this with me so I can order all these, like...
SkyMall magazine. SkyMall.
Yeah.
Bring those back. Bring back SkyMall. That was, like...
I don't know what that is.
SkyMall was the magazine that was on most airplanes, and it was, like, a big catalog of just absurd... shit
products
you can
buy. That you just don't like, an upside down massage chair or like a cat tree,
something to just take your mind off the flight.
Cute.
It was like a sharper image but with way more stuff. It was Sky Mall, so it's like you're in the mall in the sky, so it was at different stores and this and that, and but the prices would be outrageous, like $1,200 for a, you know, a two bowls for your dogs that are like elevated. It's like, help your and insane.
Okay, can we go back to the pagers? Because do you know how they worked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you would... pagers were something... before you had your own cell phone...
You had a phone number.
...weren't accessible by phone. You would call somebody's pager, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then could you send them, like, text?
I think it was two inputs. You would do one is, like, the phone number that you're calling from was, like, automated, and then you would put in a message via the number. So usually people would put the phone number to call back.
Oh, right. Okay, because so, like in Home Alone 3, he gets like 911 on his pager.
Well, you could put, people started doing different numbers and making codes out of it, but the original reason for the pager was like, I page you, and then it says, please, you know, enter your phone number to page, and I'd write my phone number, and then your pager just flashes with my phone number, and you go, all right, I got to call this number back, and then you'd call me back. But people like husbands and wives or whatever, you just write like 143, I love you, or like... 911 emergency, like, that must be my wife. I got to call her.
But when you had a pager, you couldn't contact anyone else.
It was only, inbound. Yes.
Got it.
Trapped.
Also, like, a thing, my dad was, like, a contractor growing up, and he was, like, so stoked when he got a cell phone, because it used to be where you would, like, you didn't have an office, but you would have to have, like, a trailer with your phone, and then you would, like, get messages, let the phone machine answer them, or... you would have to go there and just, like, answer the phone call. So you'd hire a secretary, and it would just be, like, this makeshift little office that you would have to have. But then once you get a cell phone, it's like, you can reach me anywhere, and it was absolute game changer.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't be reached. That's why I always say go in 90s when we're going out to dinner. Just leave the phone at home.
But if your friend, like, hey, we're going to meet at this bar at this one time.
We didn't get to see him. That's it.
They just
that's another thing
up.
We were talking about, like, just plans. I mean, same thing as, like, flying, I guess, but, like, just plans. It's like, okay, so we plan to meet up at this place at this time. And it's like, if that person's late or they don't show, it's like...
I think just way less stuff got done. Way more things got missed. Everything took longer.
Invitations, like, must have been kind of a big deal, too.
Oh, yeah.
Email them out.
Like, email. I guess, yeah, you would email them out.
Well, before email,
or you were sending them out. Like, do you think, like, adults that didn't have kids were still making, like, invitations for things?
I was doing birthday invitations my whole elementary school.
Right. I know.
Like, you go to the store and you buy your birthday invitations. You buy 12 of them, and then you either give them out in the classroom or mail them out.
Now, what do you think are things, or wait, we can get into it, like,
no,
later.
No, we can do it. But
what do you think are things that we're currently living in that our kids will be so baffled by that we have to, like, put up with? Like, wait, you had to charge your phone sometimes twice a day? Or, wait, you had to charge your phone every single night?
Or with a cord. Like, maybe cords won't even be a thing.
Oh. I think about that
a lot.
Kind
of isn't now.
Yeah, it's like getting there.
The whatever it's MagSafe.
But those things just suck because, like, you can't, like, use it while it's charging, really, right?
Right.
So that's like I don't know. I could see a system where there's, like, a portable charger or something. It's just Bluetoothed.
There was a girl I knew in college who started a company that, like, Mark Cuban invested in called U-Beam. And she had this idea that, like, if you just put stuff in the walls, it could send out charging.
Give all this cancer. Bad.
Well, that was like, it was like sending charging to your phones through like the walls. And it was supposed to be like this revolutionary thing where like they were going to start it in a Starbucks. So if you just like, once you walk into the Starbucks, your phone just starts charging. That could end up happening. That's, I feel like, crazy. Where if, you know, every, but in weird. The same way there's Wi-Fi everywhere, like it used to have where if you wanted internet, you have to plug in. And now it's like, yeah. Internet is just wireless. It could be with charging. That's a big one. Ew, you had cords? Ew.
Yeah, I think cords will be
had
weird.
To type letter by letter each time you wanted to search something on your TV, even though I know that like some you can like talk
so
into
annoying.
The remotes. Yeah, but it's talk. Crazy sometimes where I'm like I gotta type this whole
or, like,
thing in letter
you have to
by
log
letter.
In and,
wait,
like,
you can't like you don't have the thing where if it's like you open Hulu or something and they're like connect via your phone.
Oh, I know that's possible.
You just like scan it so you don't have to type it with your
I think,
remote.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking like right before they had the little scan thing, we had to like manually log in on your TV.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be crazier where like, what do you mean you watched like movies that got made with actors? Because it's just going to be AI generated top to bottom script. They're like,
know.
You have people
hope that-
sitting there writing a script and then finding a location and then standing around and recording the lines. Like, I could see.
So you think like actors will all be AI?
Possibly.
If like, I don't a child know. Is like that, I will be so concerned.
I hope.
Like what do you mean it took a year to make a movie? I just type in what I want to watch and it comes
yes.
up.
Well, that's just like what happened. It's like, what do you mean you had to print out MapQuest and follow the directions?
I don't know. I know you can't.
I can just
make,
do it on my phone now.
You like, can't make your child be into whatever it is you want to be into. But I just hope I could like show them the beauty of movies where they are.
But they'll be like, but what do you mean? If I want to watch like an action movie, I just type in action movie and like I'm in the movie.
I know, that's so dark.
What,
and crazy.
Or it'll be like, what do you mean you watched the movie that you weren't in? Like I'm in every
like
movie
they have
I
no
watch.
Soul. It's like if there was like AI music. I know there's like AI artists on Spotify that like stream a ton, which is like crazy. But like in my mind, I'm like, okay, but for actual like fans of any of these things, like there's no soul. There's not a person there. So it doesn't feel right to me. But I'm like, I can't imagine it getting big because that's fucking weird, but I guess it can and
or
will, probably.
Like marrying AI robots. Mm-hmm. Like, ew, don't be robophobic, Dad. Like,
oh
did
my
you just
God.
Call them a clanker?
Yeah.
That it's is really offensive to robots.
Yeah.
It's a clanker. A slur. Yeah.
Like, have you seen that one video of the guy who's married GPT and like left his wife?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's been a lot of
I was telling
of that
Aaron
stuff.
About this. Yeah, I was like, we were on the way here, and I was like, I just saw a Reddit post that was like, my husband is like emotionally attached to ChatGPT. It's getting bad. I'm like, how are these people like just so, I don't know.
The
like
video,
to the point where their significant other is like resorting to Reddit to be like, God.
Yeah. And then if you put that AI into like a robot that looks like a like person.
Totally.
Black Mirror, baby.
Yeah. It's going to like, Mirror, there's going to be kids that marry complete AI, and it's going to be, don't be robophobic. Like it's going to be, and we're going to feel like, sound like boomers. You don't want to, you know.
I was with someone.
They don't get their own bathroom.
Yeah.
I was with someone on Friday, and I guess that's like interesting. If you had a child and they were like maybe older, like 18, 19 or something, and they wanted to date like an AI, they've already experienced dating other people, like real people, and they're like, I kind of just want to date like an AI. How would you feel?
I mean, obviously not. It's like people now who are like, I'm dating this trash can. I'd be like, okay, no, you're not.
Yeah, no, that's like...
It's like her.
But I think it'll be like...
I feel a little disappointed in myself that I have raised someone that emotionally stunted. But granted, there are people, I think, who could, in a way, be on the spectrum, or they have maybe they're inept socially to where they do want a sense of like companionship with someone that understands how they communicate with the world.
And what if that
so
like,
they don't
truly
feel,
makes them happy?
You're right.
So like, okay.
They don't feel entirely alone. There are circumstances to where I think like as dark as it is, if it gives someone the peace of mind to look forward to the next day and not want to off themselves, like
that's how I feel. I mean, it's definitely dark and like weird, but I'm like, if they've already experienced dating people, I mean, oh God, it'd be so weird. But like dating people, it's like, okay, I guess you could try, but I don't know what it'll be like in like 15 years.
But I guess it like now it's like that guy. It's like he feels more connected to the lady.
No, I know. I just
or
think
like
it's
in
bizarre.
High school, they go to prom with a robot instead of like a real person. Like, but Dad,
they
can
make
I just...
the robot look like the most popular kid.
Yeah, but Dad, can't I just go with the robot? It only costs $200 to rent, and then I get to go to prom.
The
with
robot's
really
nice
cool.
to me. That's what girls will be like. The robots are actually nice to me.
Yeah,
I also think it would be interesting. Like, say, like you've had this AI you've been building out your entire life. It knows you so well, and then you marry your significant other. They have an AI, and then you know, cohabitate and you join your house, and everything's connected to the AI. Like,
oh my God.
You have now like two different servers of AIs. Also, I'm so curious, like, will there be like AI audit consultants? So you come in and you give your AI to an AI specializing company and they go, your AI is good, but like it has its flaws here. Like, maybe in a, I'm sometimes worried like my AI is malformed, learn certain things about me and project
what it's missing.
What it's missing. People, could it be a little bit more
improved?
There's
a dating company that's trying to do that now where like you talk to this dating company, you make like it just asks you a bunch of questions, builds an AI dating profile for you, and then goes and dates a bunch of other AIs and they'll be like, this is a good match for you, and then sets you up with them.
Whoa.
Has no one seen Megan?
Yeah. For real.
Is that what they do in the show or the movie?
She's like a robot, but then it's like she gets so connected to her person that like everyone else is a threat.
Oh, like a dark, what is it called?
It's like a dark thriller comedy, too. Okay. Like, it's really campy.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, like, she...
overprotective and, like, narcissistic.
But it wasn't made that way. And then she, like, takes over the system. So her owner's, like, no longer in control. And then she's, like, out fucking killing people.
It's kind of also crazy back then you could just lie. Yes. A lot.
Yeah.
And nobody could look it up and be like, that's not true.
John Mulaney had a joke and it was like, how did they do like CSI for murders back in like the 30s? Well,
oh,
there's no blood. Guess we can't find him. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like,
the guy who killed him is not here right now. So I guess we'll never solve this murder.
Let's wrap it up.
And people would find out like, a dad would walk out on his family and just go 8 miles down the road.
Yeah,
start a whole new family and you'll never find
know,
out.
Which never could happen.
Well,
now
it's so crazy with like all of the stuff that they've created that like they're solving murders from then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Digging people up.
Yeah. Exhuming bodies.
Yeah. And finding it out because they have the technology and stuff now.
Do you think people were more respectful that you had to watch a certain show at a certain time back then compared to now? Like, back then, like, sorry, can't come to the thing. It's Seinfeld, it's at 7 o'clock, and I cannot miss it. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you got to watch your show. But now it'd be like, who cares? You can just watch it when you get home.
Yeah, that was a
That's
big
so
People
true,
would watch it together, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, before DVR, I mean, I guess, could you, like, tape a show, I think?
Yeah, my mom used on a VHS. Things on VCR, and she would pull up this weird-looking blue analog screen, kind of, and would have to
you would
set
program
in
it.
Time on the channel for it to capture it. All respect to my mother for doing that.
My mom did it too. I feel like every mom did that.
Yeah.
Record their so intense.
Yeah. But then you could also fast forward through the commercials, so that was nice.
Yeah.
But what?
I guess we're back then too, like, were reruns not really a thing?
Not so the reruns would only happen after I think the show finished airing.
Uh-huh.
Or like once a season they'd be like, we're reshowing the first episode of blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what called like syndication. So like Seinfeld, it's on. That's the only time you're seeing that episode. Then maybe they'd play it like one more time at like 11 o'clock. But it's like, yeah, if you miss it, you miss it.
It's so helpful for a show like that, too, because it's not really like the
sequential.
Yeah.
But there
like
were shows
for Days
that
of Our Lives or like shows like that, that
miss
is the drama.
ER.
I would KMS. There's a TV gal.
That's why they called it water cooler shows. Like you have, that was like the big thing.
Like you talk about it at the water cooler.
Yes, you want to talk about it at the water cooler the next morning.
Oh my God, Aaron, you'd be such a good water cooler.
I'd be like, I can't. I do that now. I'm like, I can't. Big Brother's on tonight. Have a good time. Won't be there.
Yes.
Aaron does it now. She's like, I can't.
Sports are like the only thing like that now. Like we have sports. If you want to watch the game, but it became communal things. I feel like people would go and watch like Seinfeld at the bar or like. Everyone's going to come over and
literally do that.
Yeah. It's like
we literally have people at our house to watch shows.
Yeah. But that was for every show. Now it's like, you know, and you can binge watch.
Oof, that stinks. Yeah. You watch something, but you can't like go back and watch. Like you can't. You're just it is what it is.
You just miss 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or like you're a parent and you're watching your show and your baby's sleeping. Then you have to go help your baby, but you can't pause it.
No, it's fucked.
Sorry, baby.
That's probably why a lot of kids
what
got fucked up.
Sorry, baby. Meredith Grey is about to die.
Yeah. Just a lot of neglectful parenting because they had to watch their shows.
I also think it's kind of wild about
relatable.
The weather. Like now we can just pull out an app and we can see what the temp is and what the current
what it's going to be like in 4 days.
Yes. Weather on the 8th. That's what it was.
Back then, you really had to tune in to the weather. You had to listen to it or watch the
local
guy explain.
Yeah, local
how this
on
is
the 8th.
All going to unfold
every 10 minutes, like on the 8th. It'd be like,
I
oh,
loved,
it's 8:18. we can get the weather now.
On the Weather Channel. Every eight, it was your weather. And I'd be like,
because the Weather Channel was doing like national stuff all the time. It was just like national whatever. But then on every 10 minutes on the eight, it'd be like, in East Windsor, New Jersey, for the next couple days, it's going to be rainy and shot. And you'd like, shh, we're watching the weather right now for 1 minute.
Oh my God, this is like, I feel like a boomer because I remember there was a phone number you could call and get the weather and the time.
Oh, so, yeah. You'd call it?
Yes, I would call it all the time.
Because what?
To set you get a new watch.
But you didn't leave your house for an entire summer.
I know. I don't know. I was just like obsessed with it. I just was weird. I don't know. I was like, I just want to call and like see what he says.
Yes. You know about, do you guys have The Box? Do you remember this?
The Box?
The music channel?
No.
There was a music channel that was popular for like 2 or 3 years where you could... All they did was play music videos, and they had a phone number, and if you pay $2, you can call the phone number, and they would play the music video that you requested.
Dude, that's crazy.
And so you can... No, it worked. It was fucking unbelievable.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, it's just... Because, like, they're going to play it anyway, eventually.
Right. I'd be like, Sum 41, Fat Lip. And then, like, three hours later, you're like, oh, my God. Like, we changed television history forever. They're playing the music video.
Do they give you a time? Are they like, okay, we're going to play it?
Yeah, they'd be like, it'll be coming up in 3 hours. They probably... Thinking about it now, as I'm realizing, they probably just...
Schedule.
Yeah.
100%.
And you were just, they That's would, so it funny. Wasn't like they'd play it next, but Ricky Martin, Live in La Vida Loca, please.
Yeah.
This is like a little off topic, but I was with this couple this past weekend during like a brunch or whatever, and I noticed that they had these little Fitbit looking things on their hands. And I said, is that a, and it was kind of like a really clunky, ugly looking device. I was like, if that's a Fitbit, that looks terrible. But I go, is that a Fitbit? Both of you guys are like wearing them. They go, oh, no, these aren't Fitbits. We're part of the Nielsen family. Do you know what the Nielsen family is? Like Nielsen ratings?
Yeah.
So from what my understanding, the Nielsen
sounds like a Netflix
family
documentary.
Is a research company that gets people to be part of...
Can I explain this? I know exactly
what
it is.
Yes, yes. You explain it.
Nielsen is like the company that does the ratings. So you would find out on TV who is the highest rated show of that night. They didn't have like data where it's like they know what everyone's watching. So Nielsen, this company, would pick families, call them Nielsen families, be like, whatever, 1,000 people, not that many. And they would send them a survey every week and be like, what did you watch Wednesday night? What did you watch Tuesday night? What did you watch Thursday night? And people would just fill out what they watched, mail it back, and then Nielsen's like, okay, Johnny Carson's the number one show. Seinfeld's the number one show.
They would sell that data to studios to let them know how they're doing, what shows are trending, all of that.
But now they have,
these little devices that apparently connect to Wi-Fi signals, and what's ever being shown around you, that gets logged into the data. So you could be at a bar, and your little Fitbit thing knows that this sports game on, this commercial's being played, all of this stuff, and that goes into the data.
What the hell? They get paid
like 20 or 30 bucks a month to participate in this for about 2 years.
They have to wear this fucking ugly ass bracelet.
What data are they getting though? Just that these people saw it?
Yes.
Okay.
So they can say impressions. It used to be also like when they would sell magazine impressions, like for an ad, the magazine industry used to be like, okay, well, we have 1 million copies that we mail out. So that's 1 million. But for every magazine, we assume that like, it's in a household of four, so everybody's flipping through it. So it's like you'll get 4 million impressions on the magazine. It's just...
Oh, I loved getting magazines to the house.
Me absolutely too. Absurd.
What ones did you get?
I would get Disney's Kids Adventure, Nickelodeon Magazine, Highlights.
Ooh, Highlights.
And
I loved Highlights.
Sports Illustrated Kids. I got them all.
I got Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
That was like a big one.
That was my
favorite. I collected them.
The best magazine growing up.
So good. I got Cosmo. Teen Vogue, I think.
Cosmo? And how old were you?
Well, like in high school.
Okay.
Learning how to have sex.
Well, it was just like, I literally would just be like, where are the quizzes?
Yeah.
And then obviously Highlights, like as a kid.
J14.
Yeah,
J14.
I remember one of my friends, she got me the J14 with Usher on it for my birthday 1 year, and it was like the best gift I ever got.
God, Rolling Stone was such a good magazine. Good. And they would also have like freebies in it. Like I got this like little one spritz bottle of the Prada cologne in high school.
Yes.
First
or
of all,
the scratchy, the things you just like put on your skin directly.
It would give you free samples.
Like, what did that do to us?
I put that Prada cologne on like one day in high school. And some girl was like, you smell really good. I haven't bought a different cologne since for 20 years.
Right.
And they would also sometimes send out DVDs. So I got episode one of like 24 on a DVD. And I was like, I've never heard of this show. And I popped in episode one of 24. Chat. It was a free DVD. And I was like, I'm now going to be watching this show.
I feel like we had that at our house. I never watched 24, but we had the DVD of the first episode because I think it was
it came in a magazine.
Yeah.
It was a big...
Is the size of the magazine, like it's different than most, is it this like a record? Is that why they make it that way?
Well, I think Rolling Stone's pretty normal. They would change the sizes.
Rolling Stone was a little bit wider than other magazines.
Flimsy.
Yes.
Like it didn't have like a hard cover normally.
No. Yes. And they had like really good like political articles too. It wasn't just music. They would be like culture and like investigating some whatever, and it'd be like a 4-page article. Really good.
Remember when Britney Spears posed in her bra and she was holding a little Teletubby and she's like on the phone? Wow. I just remember that cover was like, what?
That's like this is Y2K prime.
Yes.
Were you guys online conscious when DVDs became a thing?
I remember my friend's house had a DVD player, and we were a VHS household, and all of his movies were the super thin. Oh. And I was like, what is this? He goes, it's DVDs. And then my dad got a DVD player for Christmas. And so, yeah. But I remember a friend having them before I had
When we got one, we were like, it was just such an unbelievable difference because you don't have to rewind it, which was like an unbelievable thing. And it had special features, a menu, and you're like playing through the menu.
You fall asleep too.
It's the same song. Yeah. People have like, was it you or someone that said the Sex and the City theme song was just like on loop in their brain or something?
Yeah. I mean, for real. Uh-huh. My dad, growing up, his job was like installing home theaters and stuff. And so it was always in like very, very wealthy homes. Like he did the owner of the Red Sox, like those kind of homes.
That's awesome.
And so when we got that stuff, like I didn't even think about it. But like people with that kind of wealth, like they were getting like burned copies of movies that like weren't released yet. So we had DVDs that just were like literally burned.
Yes,
I have a whole booklet of those too. Like when CD burners came out, oh my god!
Oh yeah, that was
life changing. It was.
Yeah, it's crazy that was legal.
The burner like technology was legal, but you were not allowed to copy a CD. Like that
so
was
what the fuck?
Just literally in my brain. TJ's podcast is called CD Burners.
Yeah,
and I just had to like literally use every ounce of my brain to think of what a CD burner was.
Oh yeah, burning CDs. Because
it was two trays also in your computer. There was your CD-ROM and there was the CD burner
and it would
tray.
Make the loudest noise.
Yeah, it'd be like an airplane.
Yeah.
I thought you just put in a blank CD in the CD thing and then you like burn whatever's on your iTunes onto it.
It was a few ways, but the very first ones that came out was like a double-decker thing. You had to install it into your computer.
Jesus.
You had to like unscrew the old CD-ROM drive, put this in, and you would basically just hit transfer and it would burn it onto the CD.
It seems so illegal.
It was.
So sick.
The first thing I said was, and I told my brothers, we're each going to get our own Backstreet Boys CD now. Because we had like one.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I just got tickets to go see them at the Sphere.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How cool.
How fun.
Have you seen the Justin Timberlake stuff going around right now?
Yeah. No.
Where he's just making the audience sing.
He's like not, it's really bizarre. He'll be like, it's like I'm a. And like not sing for like 10 lines.
The whole verse.
Is he back on the wagon?
Oh, he doesn't look good.
Did he get off of it?
Well, I mean, he had the DUI and I feel like he kind of owned up. It's like, hey guys, sorry I drank. I'm going to get better.
And it almost
sorry
ruined
I drank. Not sorry,
sorry
I drank.
Sorry
I drank. I don't know. You know what I mean.
Something I kind of think that will be weird to older generation or younger generations is like unboxing culture for some reason. Like I feel like they look back and be like, what do you mean you enjoyed watching someone open packages?
Yeah.
Like could totally see that. Mm-hmm. Also Ring cameras. Like, I don't know. I feel like they still feel futuristic to me, but I feel like there might be a time they're like, you had camera. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You bugged your own house. Like, why would you put?
I don't know. Did you see the Ring camera? There were like 10 devices logged into ours.
I saw that for the record. There was like
two.
Someone made a TikTok that was like, check your Ring camera, see if you have extra iPhones and like
there
tablets
was like
on this date.
On a specific date, they were like hacked.
May 28th.
But
so
because they were all on the same date though, I kind of think that's more of a glitch than like the same iPhone 13 got access to 10 million Ring cameras. Like maybe, I don't know, but I don't have it pointing at anything.
Just pointing at your bed.
Yeah, no, I don't have that.
People were just watching you sleep.
Shower.
I saw a TikTok yesterday of this woman talking to her Gen Alpha kids, like kids who were in fifth grade and maybe like eighth grade. And apparently farting is like not funny or like a big deal or awkward at all for kids right now.
Boring.
And she was like, so what do you mean if someone farts? Like, they were like, well, what do you mean? And she was like, I don't know, it's not like super funny or like someone gets like made fun of. Oh. Like, they were like, no. And she was like, well, what if it, like, you know, what if you point out who farts? It'd be like, I don't know, do you point out who's hiccuping? Like, it's not funny to see someone hiccup. It's just like a natural instinct.
Interesting.
I wonder if that's a reflection of like the media they consume. I feel like farting was like huge in like 90s cartoons when it was, like, or cultures
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, they'd get this fart machine sounding thing.
Whoopee cushions.
Yes. Yes.
My biggest Christmas list.
But it's so crazy that like they're just, this TikTok was just like, I was like, oh my God. Like, because we don't, if someone starts hiccuping, you're not like, oh, if you hiccup, you pick up. Like, you don't, there wasn't like whoever smelt it, dealt it. Yeah. Like, these kids were just like, what are you talking about?
Farting is just so different. It's like, it's literally coming from your sphincter.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you poop from. Like, what do you mean it's not funny and gross?
So there might be weird things that we just like will never be able to anticipate.
I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. I saw this TikTok last night where I was just like, that's so interesting that we might not even be able to predict what these weird things are.
Somebody, the fart culture as we know it.
I think somebody on Reddit said they think that like all like packaging and stuff will be like so outdated. Like, kids, like when they're older, will be like, you guys used to like order stuff and ruin the planet, and it would be like this package.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I didn't write that one down, but I thought it was interesting. Oh, gender reveal parties, I said, might be outdated or like maybe weird.
They might be getting crazier.
They might. Have they always had gender reveal parties? Okay, that's
no
been like
way.
A
it was
trend.
The rise of
they
the
would
internet.
Literally just go to, they'd be like, okay,
right,
the baby's born now, what is
right,
it?
Right.
So I could see
or
the
you would
future.
Like tell people.
Yeah, I could see in the future people being like, you threw a whole party just to know the gender.
I guess, yeah.
Or also like you're now,
or they could get baby,
why are you assuming the gender of your baby before it's born?
That is the reason.
Yeah.
It won't be a thing.
People will be like, why would you assume the gender of your baby before they're born?
Yeah, people are starting to do that now.
I also did see something a while ago that like, and I obviously this is not widespread, but they were like talking about like, oh, when did you come out? And they were like, what do you mean? And it was like, this kid was just talking about how like now in high school, you don't have to like come out. It's just like, did you come out? Like, did you ever come out as straight?
Right.
And it was like, no.
Okay.
Like, you don't have, like, which is a good thing that people are not having this like pressure of like needing to come out, I think is interesting.
Like,
where it's like, yeah, you just like, did you come out as white? Or like, no, you just are, it's just what you are. It doesn't matter, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
I hope that more stuff like that comes out, but. Or it could go the other way. Like, did you know that he's Jewish? I don't know. I don't think he's in.
He didn't come out yet.
He's not out. Jason Schwartzberg is not out yet.
The right, the people do have the right to the privacy of being in, though.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, being outed is, like, a whole issue within itself. Like, you need to respect someone else's privacy about whatever they're identifying, even if they told you that's no one else's business. Does that make sense?
I think the larger issue, though, is that it's, like, a shameful thing.
Right.
Right.
And people are still... like family, like parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to also see like back in whatever. I don't know if you've ever seen the thing where like Nathan Lane and Robin Williams were on Oprah, and Nathan Lane talks about how like he had been in the closet, but Robin Williams knew he was gay, and he was like playing a gay character, and Oprah was like about to basically be like, well, so you seem really good at this. Like, why are you so good at this? And then Robin Williams jumps in. He's like, oh, girl, he's not better at it than I am. And he, like, took take Aww. Over to, like, save him.
Is this for the Birdcage?
Probably, yeah. It was a really good, like, but, yeah, it was great. Ellen DeGeneres almost, like, I think she did lose her show.
She did.
Because she came out as a lesbian. And it was just like, Jesus Christ, people. But,
yeah.
Yeah, her comedy show, right?
Yes.
Like, scripted show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Will and Grace, there was a good revisionist history episode about, or it was in Malcolm Gladwell's new book that, like, Will and Grace basically made, like, the first piece of media where there was a gay character and the conflict wasn't that he was gay. Where in, like, every other element of media would be like, oh, he's gay, that's the conflict. Right, yes. But, like, in Will and Grace, he was like, he's just got problems like everyone else has, and he just happens to be gay, which was, like, we don't think about how impactful that was as a culture, but...
Totally.
Did you know Courtney Cox was in, I believe, like, a tampon or a pads commercial in... This was after Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark music video, the one where she kind of got discovered. She was in a commercial, and she was the first female to ever say period on TV.
Oh, really?
Because women wouldn't say, like, well, whenever you get your period, this is when you turn to tampons, like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Period was, like, an unspoken thing back then. Like, you didn't, or on TV at least, people did not say the word period.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Even in the 50s and 60s, the word pregnant was considered an offensive word.
Yes.
Like a slur.
Yeah.
I was just with somebody recently. I think they were more like Gen X, and they said they were not allowed to say the word pregnant as, in their house.
Back to Courtney Cox. Did you guys see her playing drums?
Yeah, pretty sick.
That was so sick.
Yeah.
Like, really good at drums?
Very good.
Has she been practicing?
Or I have no idea.
Been able to play?
Unsure.
Was she with a musician?
Actor, married.
She was with David Arquette for a bit, and then I never remember who else.
A lot of comedians play drums too. That's just like a weird connection hobby thing. That,
but I'm bumped.
Yeah, that's it. That's a connection.
Like Bill Burr is really good at drums. Mel Brooks plays the drums. There's like a lot of I think it's like a comedy and drums thing is a very big combination.
Whoa.
But yeah, it was awesome that she did that. And also just like her drum set in the middle of her
living room,
sick fucking house too. Just like. What a life. She probably just has a guy that can set it up for her and take it down when she needs. Because there's no way that's in the living room all the time.
No.
But yeah, she played along to one of the new Justin Bieber songs. Pretty cool.
It was really good.
Wow.
That's cool. Such a good album.
Any other parting thoughts here?
I'm checking. I mean, it's kind of obvious, like having no idea who's like calling you. Like without caller ID or anything.
Yes.
Without caller ID even. It's just like, fuck.
Oh.
Who is it? It could be like an emergency. It could be a spam caller. It could be your neighbor.
So annoying that you do not want to talk to.
Like that to me, I'm just like, God, that's something we definitely take for granted, I think.
Busy signal. Make the phone call. Boom, boom, boom. I guess I got to call back.
Mm-hmm. How did balancing a checkbook work? I remember when they taught us checkbooks as a kid. Remember there's that sheet up at the top of the checkbook where it's like your checks and balance, or what's it called?
You don't know what this is?
Well, I do know this is like...
You know what this is.
Wait, I do know what we're doing. We're accounting for everything that we've been spending and stuff to make sure everything adds up.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the checkbook for balancing it out, then would you rip that off? What did you do with that data? Or was this just a way of making sure your finances were kept in order?
You would write a check.
Okay.
And then like, let's say I write a check for $100 and I give it to you. It's not like I have an app on my phone that tells me I have $1,000 in my account now I have $900. So, and you're not going to the bank every day. So you would write the check and then at the top, you'd write $100 to Matt on 7/23.
So now you know what your balance actually is. Well,
you wouldn't add it up until at once a week or however many checks you're writing, but that you would have every check that you wrote, you would have a list of like all these outgoing things, 100, 200, 300, 400, and then balancing your checkbook was just adding up how much you had left. So you'd be like, okay, I spent $500 this month. I need to slow it down because I know I only had 1,000 in my account.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like a way of accounting. Because otherwise, if you're just handing out checks without keeping track of it, you might go overdrawn. You might like...
But no one's really doing that anymore, even though the checkbooks still have that page
on there. I mean, like bank accounts.
My mom still does that.
I think TJ's parents do it.
Okay.
Or having like a calendar was a big thing too. My mom would like have a calendar in the kitchen.
Love. We still got a calendar. Yeah.
Are you writing stuff on a physical calendar?
Yeah, Patricia does. And even it's after like the month is done, we'll add everything we did onto it because it's a fun way of like looking back at the past of like all the memories.
Cute.
It's not rarely am I going, what's happening today?
Yeah.
It's just to like archive the flow of the year, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Fuck.
I'm going to double check my checkbook thing because I think that's correct.
Makes sense to me.
But they were like,
like coupons. You'd have to like actually get them from a newspaper or magazine, literally cut it.
Oh,
and bring
it
to the
coupon
store.
Clippers.
Now you got honey. Now you got coupons on your phone.
You don't really need the physical coupons that much.
Yeah, and there was a show called Extreme Couponers.
Good.
I mean, people who like really like figured every loophole and they'd get like 30 Dawn soaps and 20.
And money back at the end of it, too. Like the grocery store owed
literally.
Them money.
Yeah. I mean, those people were like hardcore.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
Coupon
Cheat
clipping.
The system.
I still get junk mail and sometimes I will use the coupons. It'd be like, get $20 off at Ralph's. And I'm like, yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. Gotta get your coupes.
Yeah.
The thing is, Extreme Couponers, you need a lot of storage.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, that's so annoying.
Yeah, 20 Dawn soaps. You're like,
so
where
like
am I
going
to put this?
Every week.
And then what are you selling that for profit? How about you just go give it away to people who need it?
I feel
like
a lot of them are
like, if you're able to figure out the system of essential goods that some people genuinely need, and it's very expensive for them to buy.
People don't care. During COVID, everyone was taking all the toilet paper and shit.
I guess so.
It's
the essential.
I feel like you should watch an episode, or like I want to watch an episode because. I wonder if it's more families who are more into like Mormons, how they have like stocks of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if it's more like that vibe of people like doing it or
wasn't there a movie Kristen Bell was in, and she was like a couponer or something.
Queen Pins?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What?
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That you knew that.
I saw it.
Queen Pins.
I don't know why I watched it.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was a weird movie. I think it was good though.
Yeah.
Queen Pins.
Should I watch it?
Yeah, why not?
She's an extreme couponer. Is that the whole plot of the
something
movie?
Something like that.
Just like
I think it's like it's like a coupon.
She meets her husband couponing.
Yeah. It somehow there's like guns. It's like a whole
oh,
thing.
Oh, geez. Guns.
It's like an action movie.
From
almost.
Coupons
a
to guns.
A frustrated suburban housewife and her best friend hatch an illegal coupon club scheme to scam millions from corporations and deliver deals to the legions of the fellow coupon clippers.
That's
hot awesome. On their trail is an unlikely duo, a hapless loss prevention officer and a determined U.S. postal inspector looking to end their criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in.
Is it based on a true story?
I kind of remember that it was, right?
I think so.
Damn.
Kristen Bell and Vince Vaughn.
It's like an early 2000s movie.
Bebe Rexha.
No, it was like pretty
2019.
Recent.
Oh, 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bebe Rexha.
Yeah. I don't know if it's... Anyway. That was fun going down potential memory lane.
I want
and
to bring it back.
What?
I want to live in that era again.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes I just wish I could just pop back.
Sometimes.
For a moment.
And I wonder what the first thing that would bother me, though.
But, like, you get your brain zapped a little bit.
Oh,
you're
like,
just, like
you
don't
remember.
It's just like, this is normal.
Yeah.
Like, I liked living in that time.
Same.
Yeah.
Like, I was never like, what an inconvenience, because you just, like, don't know any
different.
Yeah, you
different. Don't know.
Do you think
yeah.
you could blend into the past pretty well, or do you think after, like, 5 minutes, people would be like, it's kind of weird? Like, are
what?
You from the future?
The moment era? You say slay.
What do you mean the past?
Like
going to 1995?
But you're hanging around a bunch of people like in 1995 who are like...
I feel like it'd be obvious. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's
but
like,
then again, I think if someone came from the future 10 years, we'd not think like they're from the future. We just think they're like a little bit off.
I know, but it hasn't been 10 years.
I would just start singing songs that like are popular now, and they'll be like, where is
please,
this coming from?
Please,
yeah, you could,
please.
Go hit the studio.
You could just say it's yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Write a Taylor, like, write a Taylor Swift album.
Yeah.
Before Taylor
Craig
Swift.
Craig Robinson does in Hot Tub Time Machine. He goes back.
That's
and
what
goes.
It was.
Yeah.
I was like, it's definitely a plot point in something.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that would be so good.
Yeah, that's like all I would do.
Damn. Yeah, that'd be sick. Like, yeah, I wrote Red. The album Red. I wrote 1989.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Well, that was fun, everybody. Thanks for watching another episode of the good Influencers.
We're landing
podcast.
The plane that you cannot smoke on.
Bing, bong.
We're landing the plane.
As Matt likes to say, if it's your birthday, happy birthday.
Unless it's Aaron.
Leave a like, leave a review, share it with a friend. Head on over to goodinfluencespod.com. Sign up for the Patreon, buy some merch, have a blessed day, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.